Welcome to Zichur Daf Simanim. I'm Rabbi Avraham Goldhara, and today we're in Mezechus Shabbos, Daf Zion. So the three points we're going to focus on. Number one, Rabbi Yochanan identifies the Carmelis, listed as one of the Carmelis areas, as a nook adjacent to Rosh HaRabim. Although the public sometimes pushes their way into this area and enter it, since it's not convenient, it's considered a Carmelis. Number two, the rabbis were lenient when decreeing the parameters of a Carmelis, applying one of the leniences of Rosh HaYachid and one of the leniences of Rosh HaRabim. So Rav Dimi said in the name of Rav Yochanan that a Carmelis must be at least four tefachim wide, similar to the requirement of Rosh HaYachid. If it's less than four tefachim, it has the status of a Makom Patur. Also, Rav Shesha said in the airspace of a Carmelis is only considered a Carmelis until 10 tefachim. After that, it's a Makom Patur, similar to the laws of Rosh HaRabim. The area above a Rosh HaRabim, above 10 tefachim, has the status of a Makom Patur. And number three, crevices in Rosh HaYachid, Chori Rosh HaYachid, have the status of Rosh HaYachid. When it comes to crevices in Rosh HaRabim, Chori Rosh HaRabim, Abaya said they're treated as a Rosh HaRabim since the public sometimes uses them as a convenient place to store items. Rava says their measurement determines their status. If they're less than four tefachim wide, they have the status of a Makom Patur. If they're four tefachim or wider, then they're treated as a Carmelis. All right, now let's do a review. So point number one, Rabbi Yochanan identifies the Carmelis listed as one of the Carmelis areas as a nook adjacent to Rosh HaRabim. Although the public sometimes pushes their way into this area and enter it, since it's not convenient, it's a Carmelis. Number two, the rabbis were lenient when decreeing the parameters of a Carmelis, applying one of the leniences of Rosh HaYachid and one of the leniences of Rosh HaRabim. So Rav Dimi said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan that a Carmelis must be at least four tefachim wide, similar to the requirement of Rosh HaYachid. If it's less than four tefachim, it has the status of a Makom Patur. Rav Shesha said the airspace of a Carmelis is only considered a Carmelis until 10 tefachim high, similar to the laws of Rosh HaRabim. The area above 10 tefachim in the Carmelis has the status of a Makom Patur, just like the area above 10 tefachim in Rosh HaRabim has the status of a Makom Patur. And number three, crevices in Rosh HaYachid, Chori Rosh HaYachid, have the status of a Rosh HaYachid. When it comes to the crevices in Rosh HaRabim, we have a Machlokas. Abai says they're treated as a Rosh HaRabim since the public sometimes uses them as a convenient place to store items. Rava says their measurement determines their status. If they're less than four tefachim wide, they have the status of a Makom Patur. If they're four tefachim or wider, then they're treated as a Carmelis. All right, so now we go to a siman. So the siman for Daf Zion is a gun, because you said clay zion are weapons, so we use guns. Here we go. The Carmelis gun gang, guns, that reminds me of Daf Zion. The Carmelis gun gang, infamous for hanging out in the nooks of Rosh HaRabim, would rob anyone larger than 4x4 and 10 tefachim high in size, and then hide their stash in crevices. So here we go in slow motion. The Carmelis gun gang, guns, that reminds me of Daf Zion. The Carmelis gun gang, infamous for hanging out in the nooks of Rosh HaRabim, which reminds us that Rabbi Yochanan identifies the Carmelis listed as one of the Carmelis areas as a nook adjacent to Rosh HaRabim. Although the public sometimes pushes their way into this area and enter it, since it's not convenient, it's a Carmelis. So the Carmelis gun gang, infamous for hanging out in the nooks of Rosh HaRabim, would rob anyone larger than 4x4 and 10 tefachim high in size, which reminds us the rabbis were lenient when decreeing the parameters of a Carmelis, applying one of the leniences of Rosh HaYachid and one of the leniences of Rosh HaRabim. Rav Dimi said in the name of Rav Yochanan that a Carmelis must be at least four tefachim wide, similar to the requirement of Rosh HaYachid. If it's less than four tefachim, it has the status of a Makom Patur. And Rav Shesha said the airspace of a Carmelis is only considered a Carmelis until 10 tefachim, similar to the laws of Rosh HaRabim. The area above 10 tefachim in a Carmelis has the status of a Makom Patur, just like the area above 10 tefachim in Rosh HaRabim has the status of a Makom Patur. Would rob anyone larger than 4x4 and 10 tefachim high in size and then hide their stash in crevices. Could be said, crevices in Rosh HaYachid have the status of Rosh HaYachid. Crevices in Rosh HaRabim, Abai said they're treated as Rosh HaRabim since the public sometimes uses them as a convenient place to store items. Rava says their measurement determines their status. If they are less than 4 tefachim wide, they have the status of a Makom Patur. If they are 4 tefachim or wider, then they're treated as a Carmelis. So once again, the Carmelis gun gang, infamous for hanging out in the nooks of Rosh HaRabim, would rob anyone larger than 4x4 and 10 tefachim high in size and then hide their stash in crevices. All right, so now it's time for four blot back chazara. Daf Gimel. So the symbol for Daf Gimel is camel. So we said the camel driver, reminding us we're on Daf Gimel. The camel driver who single-handedly, which reminds us one is only liable to bring a chattas for doing a malach if he performed it single-handedly. Two people that perform a malach together are exempt from bringing a chattas. And Rebbe learns this from the pasuk of v'nefesh achas tachtavish galgav me'am ha'aretz ba'asosa achas mi'musas Hashem ha'shelot ha'asena. If an individual from among the people of the land shall sin unintentionally by committing one of the commandments of Hashem, that may not be done. Rebbe teaches the word ba'asosa by committing as a contraction of the words of ba'asos osa, by committing it, the misdeed, which implies that one must do the complete act to be liable. That's according to Tosfos. So the camel driver who single-handedly carried the water that was loaded up on his back into the public domain, which reminds us, Rava asked Rebbe what the law is in the case where one's friend loaded upon him food and drink in a Rishus Yachid, and then the one with the load walked out into the Rishus of Rabbi. He asks, is lifting his body to begin walking Akira's Gufo, considered as if he lifted the object from its place, Akira's Chavetz, or not? Rebbe answered that it is considered an act of lifting an object. It's considered an act of Akira, since the body is considered in a state of resting on the ground, and the person would be liable to bring a chatas. This is different than a hand that isn't considered in a resting state on the ground. So the camel driver who single-handedly carried the water that was loaded up on his back into the Rishus of Rabim for his camels made the mistake of sticking his hands full of camel treats into a different domain and was told he may not be able to retract them. Because Abai stated that it was clear to him from the Mishnah that the hand is not considered totally drawn to the body to the point that it's regarded as being in the same domain as the body. If it was, then the poor person standing in the Rishus of Rabim would have given his hand the status of a Rishus HaRabim, and the homeowner would have been liable at the moment he placed the object in the poor person's hand. This leads Abai to inquire whether the rabbis penalized someone for extending his laden hand into another Rishus by giving that hand the status of a Karmelis, thereby forbidding him to retract it. And that question became the focus of the remainder of Daf Gimel. Daf Dalet. So the Simfer Daf Dalet is a door. As we said, the Telvais throw the dough against the inside of the oven door contest, which reminds us we're on Daf Dalet. So the Telvais throw the dough against the inside of the oven door contest. So the dough reminds us that Rabbi Chaya, the son of Rabbi, taught that Rabbi Bar Abai said conclusively, if one intentionally attached dough to the wall of the oven on Shabbos, the rabbis permitted him to remove it before he comes to transgression that carries the penalty of stoning. So the Talmudites throw the dough against the inside of the oven door contest, which was a smash success, especially with a slow motion, making it look like the dough came to rest in the air. Because Rava suggests, the author of Remissions, Rabbi Kivu, states that one does not require the Akira Nanaka to be done in a place that it was at least 4x4 tefachim. This would explain why the poor person would be liable for lifting or placing the object in the homeowner's hand, which is less than 4x4 tefachim. According to Rabbi Kiva, one who throws an object from one Rishus Yachid to another Rishus Yachid via a Rishus Rabim is liable, because he says that something contained in the airspace of a domain is legally viewed as if it came to rest there. Therefore, according to Rabbi Kiva, a space of 4x4 tefachim is not required. The rabbis disagree. So once again, the Talmudites throw the dough against the inside of the oven door contest, which was a smash success, especially with the slow motion making it look like the dough came to rest in the air before the losing shot landed on a tree branch in Rosh Hashanah. Which reminds us, Rabbi Yosef said the author of our Mishnah is Rebbe. The Gemara seeks to clarify which statement Rebbe indicates he holds an area of 4x4 is not needed for the Akira and the Hanukkah. The first source brought is a case where one threw an object in Rosh Hashanah and it landed on a small protrusion 4 amos away. Rebbe says he's liable, seemingly because he doesn't require space of 4x4 tefachim to make someone liable. But this source is rejected, as Abai says this case is referring to a tree that was standing in Rishus Yachid and had its branches extend into Rishus Rabim. Rebbe holds that even though the branches are less than 4x4 tefachim, they're given the status of the trunk, which is wider than 4x4 tefachim. The haystack ride, reminding us more in Daf Hey. The haystack ride through the roofed Rishus Rabim, which reminds the Rav said that one who transports an object 4 amos in a roofed Rishus Rabim on Shabbos is exempt, since it doesn't resemble the encampment in the Midbar, the Digli Midbar. So the haystack ride through the roofed Rishus Rabim came to a sudden stop when a farmer with massive 4x4 tefachim hands, because Rav has said that a person's hand is as significant to him as an area of dalad by dalad tefachim, 4x4 tefachim, even though it's narrower than 4 tefachim, a hand can hold very large objects due to its grasping nature. That's the Rambam. This explains why the poor man, when he places the object in the householder's hand, it's as if he placed it upon an area that was 4x4 tefachim wide. So it came to a sudden stop when a farmer with massive 4x4 tefachim hands, who was walking in and out of his house all day long, paused to adjust his load. Because we said Rav Yochanan taught that if one lifted food and drink in one corner of Rosh Hashanah Yachid, with the intent on carrying it to the other corner of the Rosh Hashanah Yachid, the private domain, and then changed his mind, walked out into Rosh Hashanah Rabim and back into the Rosh Hashanah Yachid and back out and in. He's not liable until he stands momentarily and then continues walking. Since the Akira is an essential part of the Malacha, it has to be done with intent. And Abai qualifies his ruling and says that he's liable only if he stood to rest. If he stood merely to adjust his load, it's not considered as if he stopped walking. Dav Vav. So the symbol for Dav Vav is a sword, because a Vav is kind of long like a sword. So here we go. The elaborate sword dance, reminding us we're on Dav Vav. The elaborate sword dance that took place in all four different domains, which reminds us of the Brisa that listed the four different Rishuyos. We have Rishus Yachim, Rishus Rabim, the Carmelis, and the Makom Patur, and the various Dinim. The elaborate sword dance that took place in all four different domains was watched by fascinated tourists sitting on the thresholds, which reminds us that the same Brisa includes a Malchokas about a threshold in Iskupa, which is considered a Makom Patur. A person standing on a threshold can take an object from the Baal Bais standing in the Rishus Yachim, or give the Baal Bais an object. He may also take an object from a poor person standing in Rishus Rabim, or give the poor person an object. The one thing he can do is transfer the object from the Baal Bais in Rishus Yachid to the poor person in Rishus Rabim, or vice versa. But if he did, all three are exempt from bringing achatas. But Acherim, which is where Merit says that the eskupa, the threshold, can function as two domains depending on its circumstances. When the door to the entrance is open, the threshold is considered Rishus Yachid. When the door to the entrance is closed, the threshold is considered Rishus Rabim. So it was watched by fascinated tourists sitting on the thresholds or crowded in the area between two opposite houses. Because we said when the Braisa above defined the Rosh HaYachid and then stated, this is a Rosh HaYachid, it implied it rejected specifically the following opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, that two walls are enough to render the area between them Rosh HaYachid. According to Rabbi Yehuda, if someone had two houses on opposite sides of the Rosh HaRabim, he can set either two side posts or two crossbeams at each end of the open street, which is required rabbinically, so the street doesn't look like Rishus Rabim, and then pick things up or place things down in the street in the area between the two houses. So once again, the elaborate sword dance that took place in all four different domains was watched by fascinated tourists sitting on the thresholds, a crowd in the area between two opposite houses. All right, so now it's time for our pop quiz of 10 questions. Here we go. Number one, which duff do we have the definitions and examples of the four different Rishuyas, the four different domains? That's on duff. Vav. Good. Number two, where do we learn that a Karmos was given leniences of a Rishus Yachid and a Rishus Rabim? That's on Daf. Zion. Good. Number three, where do we have a question whether a hand should be considered Karmelis and a person shouldn't be able to retract it if he placed it in another Rishus holding on to something? That's on Daf. Daf Gimel. Good. Number four, where do we learn that the Karmelis term referred to nooks in Rishus Rabim? That's on Daf. Zion. Good. Number five, what do you mean, Rabbi Kiva Shita, that Kutuk Mishachunt Chadami, that something contained in airspace is considered as if it came to rest there? That's on Daf. Dalit. Good. Number six, where do we learn one is exempt from carrying in a roofed Rishus Rabim since it doesn't resemble the encampment in the Midbar in the desert? That's on Daf. Hey, good. Number seven, where do we have the Malchokas about the threshold, the Iskupa? That's on Daf. Vav. Good. Number eight, where do we learn that Akira is an essential part of the Malach of Hotzah, and therefore it has to be done with intent? That's on Daf. Hey, good. Number nine, where did the Malchokas Abai and Rav regarding Chori Rishus Rabim crevices in Rishus Rabim? That's on Daf. Daf Zion. Good. And number 10, where do we learn that a person considers his hands as if they're 4x4 tefachim wide? That's on Daf. Hey, excellent. All right, that concludes our pop quiz. This is Rabbi Avram Gold from Zichu, wishing you a great day and great learning.